Another episode of Weird and Wacky World. This time, we're talking about unusual celebrity deaths in our last episode of season three.
What happened to season one and two?
Oh, they're still there.
Oh, that's good. We got quite a catalog built up.
Yeah, we have, 15 episodes for each season. So next one will be season four, episode one.
Wow.
Yeah, we're getting there.
So when are we going to get canceled?
Oh, we were canceled a long time ago, buddy.
But we don't care, do we?
We just don't realize it yet.
We just keep on going.
Okay.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not.
So I wanted to name the episode Falling Stars.
Yeah.
Very creative.
Very creative.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, you guys didn't want to because people are going to read the episodes and say, what's that? That's my whole point. Ooh, better listen to find out what it's all about. But now I read your guys' description. What is it called again?
Unusual celebrity deaths.
Or, yeah, I don't really care about that. I'm not going to listen.
No?
Brackets. No, I'm just saying that could.
We'll put it in brackets, falling stars.
Oh, ooh. You want me to do that? I'm back in. Yeah.
Okay.
And then outside the brackets, submitted by Cha. Genius.
It's going to be one long title.
Oh. Okay. Can we get started now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Queeks did quite a bit of research on this one.
Three documents.
Three. Not one.
Not two.
But three.
Like, holy man. This is going to be a 4-hour episode.
I don't think so.
Three documents.
Now, we should mention that there's some we're going to talk about that we're actually going to do probably a whole episode on later, like Marilyn Monroe. There's so much information. So we're only going to touch on that, but we could do a whole episode just on that. There could be a whole podcast series just on that.
There could.
Yeah.
There could. So, I mean, Marilyn Monroe. A lot of people think that she committed suicide.
No.
There's no way she committed suicide.
No, I agree. Well, let's start with that and get it out of the way.
Sure.
Right? But
she was pretty cute for that era.
I wouldn't use the word cute.
No.
I think sexy is the word.
Sexy. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, right?
Yeah. Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Well... Yeah, let's start with Marilyn Monroe then.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So this happened in 1962. They found her dead at her house August 5th, 1962. And she was only 36 years old. And I think the biggest thing that she did wrong was hooking up with the Kennedys.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. Well, she was she had an affair with JFK, and rumored also to have an affair with his brother, Robert Kennedy, right?
Keep it all in the family.
Well, whatever. So, I mean, I think my guess would be she just knew too much. She just knew too much, and the CIA...
It's that pillow talk.
Yeah, CIA offed her. And to me, that's in a nutshell. That's what happened to her.
Well, when she was reported dead... They took over the house in the bedroom and sealed it off, and nobody could get in there, and destroyed some of the evidence. And
absolutely, she was. They found her with an abundance of overdose of barbiturates, and they said the only way that it wasn't an accidental overdose. That's why they called it suicide, because there was way too much of it in her bloodstream, but. Speculation is it was the Kennedys that had her done in. Now whether they knew about it or not, right? I don't want to just accuse the Kennedys, but I mean because they were in such a high profile, political position, the CIA I think came in and did her in. The thing is, there was someone who spotted Peter Lawford too. Peter Lawford was an actor, and
he's married to one of the Kennedys.
He was married to one of the Kennedys, and he was seen going to her house sometime during the night. So, come on.
Oh, she was found at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
Or three. No, the doctor pronounced her dead around 3 or 4 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah, the maid or housekeeper, whatever you want to call her, she's the one that actually found her and called her. I believe her therapist. I think it was her therapist. He came at 3:30 and then called the police,
Yeah, the therapist would be my first phone call.
I don't think it was a therapist. I got that wrong.
No, she was pronounced dead by her doctor first, and the police got there.
At 3:50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it was her therapist.
Psychiatrist. No, it was. She called her psychiatrist. That's who it was. And the psychiatrist's name was Ralph Greenson, who arrived at the house shortly after the housekeeper had called and broke into the room. He's the one that broke in. And he's the one that found her. And then Hyman Engelberg arrived at 3:50, who was her doctor. And he's the one that pronounced her dead at the scene. And at 4:25 a.m., then the LAPD were notified, the police. So they were the last to be notified.
And then the CIA and everybody came in, and the room was sealed off, and it was
Yeah, absolutely.
No answers.
Yeah.
Anyway, so again, we could do, you know, we had to do a whole lead up of that one. There's a new movie coming out.
Blonde, about
Marilyn Monroe.
That looks really good.
That should be interesting.
I bet you they'll take, it'll be a different, it's not going to be as some of those other, you know, biographies that they did on Marilyn Monroe. I think this one's going to be a little bit closer to the truth.
Well,
or at least attempt to be closer to the truth.
Maybe we'll do a podcast on Marilyn around the same time just to be part of the action that's going on there.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's Marilyn.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was a shame. That was too bad, eh?
Norma Jean.
Yeah, 36 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think we mentioned another podcast that, what's his name? Baseball guy.
Oh, DiMaggio.
Thank you. Joe DiMaggio paid for all the funeral expenses and whatnot.
Yeah, they were pretty thick for a while there.
Oh, they were. Yeah, no, for sure.
Who was thick?
Joe DiMaggio.
The baseball player.
Famous baseball player.
Yeah, she was married to him at one point.
Yeah, she was married to him.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, amongst other people. She went through a few people.
Yeah.
Arthur Miller.
Yeah.
Very strange when you look at that. You look at Arthur Miller, looked like it could have been her dad. He just had that fatherly look to him.
Well, he was probably thick too, if you know what I mean.
Oh. Jeez, man.
Well, like, you know, like tight, like a dad, I mean.
Yeah, like a dad, yeah.
Okay, that's
you
bad.
Sick fuck.
Wait.
You sick bastard.
Sorry.
Oh.
Anyway.
I think we should move on before anything else.
You know which one really pisses me off is Natalie Wood. And for those of you that are listening out there, that one person, Natalie Wood, I mean, remember her in Miracle on 34th Street? She was the little girl.
Yeah. West Side Story.
Yeah, and also West Side Story. That's right. She played the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, remember how Natalie Wood died, Cha?
No, on a yacht.
Well, yeah, they claimed that she fell overboard after a night of partying and drowned. They found her body several hours
later. Now, who was on the yacht with her?
It was Robert Wagner.
Her husband.
Christopher Walken.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
And Christopher, I mean, somebody knows what happened there. And Dennis Davern. Dennis Davern was the captain of the ship.
Hmm.
And, you know, he had quite a different story to tell later on.
He said there was an argument.
Well, because he lied. He lied to police at the time. And he came out later to say that he lied about that night and that Robert Wagner and Natalie Wood had a fight. They were fighting. And, you know, because when they found Natalie Wood, she was found with bruises,
and scratches.
Yeah. Now, they claimed it could have happened when she fell overboard.
In the water?
They found her on shore, though. She washed up on shore.
Actually, she was found floating.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They found her floating face down in the water. Yeah, that's where she wasn't on shore.
Oh, I thought she was.
Yeah.
Well, then the bruises and scratches don't make a lot of sense, do they?
You know what? If you wanted to off someone, a boating accident is probably the what's cleaner way to do it.
Don't you have a boat, Joe?
Yeah. Want to go for a ride?
Her blood alcohol content was 0.14%, and there were traces of motion sickness pills and painkillers in her bloodstream.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Well, that could have made her delirious, and she could have fell overboard. I mean, that's why no one was ever convicted or charged.
Sorry, you fall overboard, you can get someone out. No,
this happened in the middle of the night, though, they say. Middle of the night, she was alone, delirious, drunk, fell in, nobody knew.
Ah.
Now, when Robert Wagner went to bed and she wasn't there, wouldn't you think, gee, where's Natalie?
It's only a boat. Well, how many places can you be?
I know.
There was a nearby boat, and there were two women who testified that they heard a woman screaming for help during the night. Interesting.
Oh, come on, right there.
Mm-hmm.
The old Wagner. Eh?
Yep.
The old wag.
The case was reopened in 2011 after the captain, Davern, publicly stated that he had lied to police about the initial investigation.
Now, is Wagner still alive?
Yes, he is. He's 92.
92.
Born in 1930.
Yeah, he just can't seem to get away from this because in February of 2018, he was named as a person of interest by police in the investigation that was reopened.
Wow, I wonder if he'll ever tell the truth on his deathbed.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
Well, I don't know. He could be innocent. We don't know. You don't know.
Yeah, a woman screaming for help.
Yeah, it sounds kind of fishy, doesn't it?
Fishy, get it?
In a report, the Los Angeles Times cited the coroner's report from 2013 saying that Wood had unexplained flesh bruising on her right forearm, left wrist, right knee, a scratch on her neck, and a superficial scrape on her forehead. Officials said that it is possible that she was assaulted before she drowned.
So, resisting for not being thrown overboard.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
anyway, you know,
on the boat, there's broken oars, freaking thing. Like, come on.
And I read something else on this one. Someone had written that it was reported that the Davern was reported. The captain said that Natalie Wood was flirting with Christopher Walken, and Robert Wagner did not like that. And Walken, I mean, he didn't pursue it, but I guess it enraged Robert Wagner. That's what the fight was about.
Okay, so she's yelling for help. Don't you think somebody in the boat would have heard that?
Well, Davern also testified that when they discovered that she was not there, no one could find her, he wanted to turn on the searchlights on the boat to search the water, and Wagner wouldn't let him. He said, do not turn on those lights. He testified to that.
Oh, well, come on. Yeah. Just saying. Something's fishy.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Well, Walken could have heard her. I mean, they're all three of them on the boat. Somebody must have heard her.
Who knows what kind of a drunken stupor everybody was in and what you heard and didn't hear. I don't know.
Yeah,
the captain seemed to know a lot more than he initially did, right? He wasn't drinking because he was a captain. Unless you're Cha. I mean, he does that all the time.
No, I don't.
I'm kidding, buddy.
No, I don't.
I had to keep Cha away from the dog treats tonight. Just feeding the dog.
Cha has a fetish for jerky treats.
A fetish?
Yeah, I would call that a fetish.
No, do you know, I used that word once and... somebody was all over me. Goes, oh, that's a sexual reference, fetish.
Doesn't have to be.
Yes, apparently it does.
I don't know. I don't have an opinion on
that. We looked it up because I thought the same as you. It's just like, you know.
She really likes something.
You have
a passion for something.
It's specifically a reference sexually, a fetish. So
I just looked it up. Cha's right. It's a sexual desire.
There you go. So, no, I do not have a fetish.
So Cha's pork and the jerky treats.
Pork. Oh, God.
Okay, but you told us a story about you did try one once.
Oh, yeah, the jerky treats? Yeah, I had to.
Why?
Well, it was the bacon ones.
Oh, okay. How bad can it be?
Well, yeah. I can see that.
No, they really smelled good. So A little dry.
How about Superman?
Well, the original, George Reeves.
Remember we used to watch Superman, black and white TV show.
Faster than a speedy bullet.
And you always jump out that window.
Oh, yeah.
You go to the window, the side of the building there. What was the name of the Daily Bugle?
Daily Planet.
Daily Planet.
Daily Bugle.
That was Spider-Man.
That's Spider-Man, man.
Yeah. Daily Planet. You go to the window, take off
and
his
glasses.
And
then we'd hug each other. No, he's going to jump.
I loved that show.
It was pretty good.
It was pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, but he wasn't faster than a speeding bullet, apparently.
No, he died of a gunshot wound to the head at the age of 40. The age of 45.
The irony is incredible. You know what I heard?
When we were younger, when he died, I remember a rumor was going around that he thought he really could fly and he jumped out of a window.
Yeah, that was the rumor.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And that's how they said he died.
Yeah.
But
that's not true.
Somebody shot him?
Somebody shot him.
Well, they don't know. They don't know. They don't know if it was suicide or...
Or him testing his speed?
Yeah, well, it happened.
He didn't win.
It happened at a social gathering, actually. It wasn't like it wasn't a break-in or anything like that. It was a social gathering between Reeves and three of his friends, including his fiance.
Okay, so it's one of these hold my beer episodes. Right?
They called it an accidental shooting. So who
knows? Just like the guy from Chicago.
Terry Kaff.
Yeah. That's brutal.
Well, there's another one coming up that is very similar to that, by the way. We'll cover it.
Well, you should say what happened to Terry Kaff.
There was a gun. He was at an after recording party, and the gun was on the table.
He said, don't worry about it. There's nothing in it.
He removed the magazine from the gun, but he forgot about the one in the chamber, and he held it to his temple, and he shot himself in front of everybody.
Terrible.
Yeah.
That's enough to put a damper on the party.
Something similar happened with another guy. I don't know if you want to jump into that, but...
yeah, go ahead. Stay with
the
theme.
Do you remember John Eric Hexum?
What show was he on?
Well, this happened in 1984. And I remember when this happened. He was actually on the set filming for the CBS television show Cover Up. He was a real good-looking dude, like a muscle guy. He was like a model. We'll include the pictures in the show notes. No? Why are you shaking your head?
Well, not unless he has boobs. We're not going to do it. What the hell do we want to look at that for?
What? Oh, is that why you're shaking your head? Well, you might want to see what he looks like. I mean, who he was.
Does he have boobs?
Oh, for crying out loud, Cha. Anyway, he became restless during the filming. And in between takes, I guess there was quite a delay. So he began fiddling with a prop gun and then spun a blank cartridge. And it was blank. And he held it to his head in a mock game of Russian roulette and pulled the trigger. And the wadding from the empty... from the shell, went right into his head, man. He died about how many days later? I think 6 days later, he died of brain damage.
See, there's a moral to this story. Never point a gun to your own head, whether it's loaded or not.
We're always like taught that.
Stupid.
Like shit like that won't happen to me because I would knew that.
No, exactly. Like why? Well, like you were saying, our dad always taught us never point. I don't care if it's loaded or not. You never point a gun in anybody's direction.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah. I know.
I know. I had a Super Soaker once when I was a kid. He said the same thing. Yeah. Don't point that at me.
I think
it's because he just didn't really want to get wet.
Yeah, actually, he trained us on the use of heavy artillery, didn't he?
Holy jeez.
No, I'm kidding. Or BB guns.
BB guns, yeah.
Still.
Oh, yeah. We used to fire them off in the basement against the cement wall.
Honestly, yeah.
Pew, pew, we would pew, hang little pew, army pew. Men from strings.
Oh, yeah.
And shoot the little army men.
We're getting pretty good at it.
Now, we must have been like 2 feet long because you go down to that basement now. It's
you
like,
could touch the other side.
You could touch. How the hell? Anyway,
he went through 5 hours of surgery, rushed to the hospital, 5 hours of surgery. He was pronounced dead 6 days later. Like, what a waste,
like,
man.
Like, don't hold a gun to your head. Like, but that's just freaking stupid.
Yeah. You know, another one that was kind of shocking was Natasha Richardson. Do you remember her?
Shocking.
Elf. Do you remember Natasha Richardson? She was married to Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, yeah.
And she...
She died at, what, a Canadian ski resort or something, right?
She did. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she fell in a skiing accident and hit her head on the snow, but it was very hard-packed snow. And they wanted to give her medical treatment. She said, no, I'm fine. I said, she goes, I'm going to be fine. Apparently she wasn't. And she went to her hotel room and she later complained about having a headache and was rushed to the hospital where she was later pronounced brain dead due to an epidural hematoma.
Wow.
That's why you get checked over, man.
You hit your head, yeah, like that. Didn't, from Sonny and Cher, didn't Sonny Bono?
Sonny Bono's another one. That was another.
He died on the slopes, too, didn't he?
He did. Yep. Wait, he ran into a tree.
He hit a tree, but yeah.
But what's weird about that? He died the same way Michael Kennedy did 2 weeks earlier.
Isn't that wild?
Exact same accident.
2 weeks early? Yeah, 2 weeks early, yeah. Yeah. Kennedy died 2 weeks later, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Weird. Now, just before we go on with Natasha Richardson, you remember her from the remake of The Parent Trap? With Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
She was also in The Handmaid's Tale, the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's her.
Just wanted to put reference to that. But yeah, no, you're right, Joe. I mean, Sonny Bono, I mean, he was running for political office. He was doing well after him and Cher broke up. And he met a tree head on.
Yeah, that was terrible. Skiing.
But weird how, you know, Kennedy died the same way 2 weeks earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
Who's next on the... You know what? Here's one. Here's a guy that died similar to one of your favorite bands of the...
Hanging?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
Carradine?
David Carradine. Yeah.
Grasshopper.
Well, a lot of... I guess the millennials remember him from Kill Bill. He was Bill in Kill Bill.
Yeah, but before he was Kung Fu.
Yeah, I'm just saying the newer people.
Yeah, the TV show Kung Fu.
Yeah, that's
it. It was like a Western, but he was like a Kung Fu master back in the Old West.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So he was found hanging in a closet. You know, he had hung himself. They thought it was suicide. But after further investigation, they realized it was what's that called?
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Asphyxiation, yes.
Yeah, or you get a sexual high from almost being, you know, choked to death.
That's right. That's right.
I guess he experimented with that stuff. I mean, weird guys.
Yeah.
Huh.
That happened in Bangkok, actually. That's
what in Bangkok.
Oh, you're serious?
Yeah.
John. Hilarious.
No, I
jeez.
Yeah. Well, I mean, where else do you go when you want to experiment with bondage and sexual experimentation? You go to Bangkok, Thailand.
There you go.
He was into it, I guess. They found all that stuff out later, and they're like, well, maybe it wasn't a suicide, it was an accidental death.
Yeah.
Went a little
like
too
Michael,
far.
Michael Hutchins from In Excess died that way.
Well, that's what they say. Yeah.
They say.
Hmm.
Yeah. Crazy. You know, here's one we were talking about before the show started, and I didn't realize that Mariska Hargitay
from Law and
was
Order.
Jane Mansfield's daughter.
Yeah. And what I found out today, too, during the research, that Mariska was in the car when the accident happened where her mother was decapitated.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Mm-mm. She was not decapitated.
That's what it said.
That's a rumor.
Really?
The reason they said that she was decapitated is when the car hit the back of that tractor.
Yeah.
And the first people on the scene saw the car that was like pretty much the top was sliced off because it went under. And Jane Mansfield wore a blonde wig, and the wig was found on the side of the road. So people immediately reported that she was decapitated, but she wasn't.
The three people in the front seat were all killed.
Instantly.
And the kids were in the back seat, and they all lived.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Nasty.
That's good, but.
Yeah.
I guess they said that the driver's vision was obscured because the truck was doing fogging for insects or whatever.
Exactly what he was doing.
And they couldn't see. And all of a sudden, boom, there's the truck and it was too late.
Yeah, it was a mosquito fogger. They were doing. And I mean, if you don't know who, I mean, Jane Mansfield was like one of those.
They called the working man's Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
She was blonde and buxom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that?
Big boobs, buddy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Buxom. Have you ever heard of that, Queeks?
Yes.
Oh, come on. Just don't make him feel
okay.
Good.
No.
There you go.
All right.
Buxom. Yeah. Okay, what do we got?
Okay, what do we got? Here, you guys pick one. There's so many.
Well, we've covered quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
But how about the guy from Hogan's Heroes?
Yeah, Bob Crane.
Bob Crane, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a kind of a weird one.
Yeah, that he died in 1978, or should I say, brutally murdered in his Scottsdale, Arizona apartment in 1978. Yeah, remember when that happened?
Now, speaking of fetish, wasn't he into a bunch of that shit?
Well, it was later. I mean, no one really knew. I mean, people's private life. He did a good job of keeping his private life private.
He was great on Hogan's Heroes. Was
fantastic, for sure. But apparently, he had something of a sex addiction. And all the details started coming out about his private life after he was murdered. And they believed it was his longtime friend, John Carpenter. Not to be confused with the director.
Director, no, John different Carpenter. Guy.
But there was enough. There was not enough evidence for a jury to convict Carpenter of the murder. That was in a 1994 trial. That's how long it took.
Wow.
To go to trial. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
16 years later. And but anyway, it probably will never be solved what happened to him, but he was brutally murdered in his apartment. That was a wacky, wacky death, that one.
Could have been a sexual fantasy gone wrong.
Could be. And John Carpenter, you know what he said at trial?
Huh.
I know nothing. I see nothing.
No.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, bad
yeah,
joke.
Yeah, if you don't know Hogan's Heroes, that was Schultz.
Schultz.
Yeah. The German Nazi guard.
I know nothing.
Oh, my God. Anyway. Now, we talked about a few incidents where these prop guns on set have killed people.
Mm-hmm.
How about Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee's son, filming The Crow?
Mm-hmm.
Shot dead.
You know what's even weirder, more weird about that, is that he was the same age as his dad when he died.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Now, didn't Bruce Lee die of a brain aneurysm or something?
They don't know what killed Bruce Lee. They don't know what he died of. They suggested that Bruce Lee died from like blood clots, all these those intense exercises he did, and he died from a blood clot.
He was unbelievable.
Incredible. But I don't think they really know. There's another strange death. Yeah. What happened to Bruce Lee?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. But yeah, but his son, yeah, same thing. Isn't enter that crazy?
Enter the Dragon.
Enter the Dragon.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, that's that one.
Speaking about prop guns.
You're going to bring up
Alex Baldwin?
Alex Baldwin, yeah.
Well, you know what? Did you ever watch the clip that he talks about that incident? It's heartbreaking. To watch him, he finally came out and told what happened, you know.
And he's the one who fired the gun.
Yeah, you know, I felt so bad. I mean, obviously for the cinematographer whose name was Helena Hutchins. I mean,
she's the one that got shot.
Yeah, I mean,
but I felt bad for Alec Baldwin.
Oh
too.
Man! So they were doing a movie called Rust. That was the name of the. It was a Western, and. She directed him, though. The cinematographer said to Alec Baldwin, point the gun at me. Like, she directed him. This is what Alec Baldwin was saying when they interviewed him. And he just did what she told him. And he pulled the trigger, and it was a live round. And she dropped. She just dropped. And not only did she drop, the bullet went through her and into another guy behind. And he yelled out, and it was just total chaos. They go, how could this happen? They didn't really even realize what was happening.
What are live rounds even doing on set?
Well, there it is. And the girl that was responsible for all of the on set, you know, use of the prop guns. I think she was questioned. Like, that was her job to make sure all the guns were safe, right? Unbelievable. Anyway, it was terrible.
There shouldn't be live rounds.
This happened.
What use do you have of a live round on
like
set?
Even, you know, why aren't they just using plastic guns? Why even have a gun, period, on set?
Put the sound effects in later in post-production.
Yeah.
Just horrible. Yeah, if you get a chance, watch the interview. Some people say they don't want to see it, but you need to see it. You need to see Alec Baldwin trying to explain what happened. I think it's important because a lot of people condemned Alec Baldwin.
Well, that's the thing. If you're passing judgment, you're talking to people and you're passing judgment, then you better watch the damn video before you start passing judgment.
People don't do research. People don't read. People don't listen. They just, whatever they're told, that's all they go by.
I'm trying to remember the celebrity they interviewed, and they they blamed Alec Baldwin. Okay, how can you do that? The guy's going through a lot. He obviously didn't intend on shooting her dead, you know. That's not helping. I can't remember who the celebrity was, but they said, you know, no, it's his responsibility to check the gun before he fired it. No, it's not, actually.
No, he
hired somebody to do that.
Yeah.
They screwed up. Somebody brought a live round onto the set. Anyway, it was terrible. Terrible story. I hate it. I hate that one. Yeah, because I like Alec Baldwin. I think he's terrific.
I mean, I bet a lot of people on set now are really careful about using prop guns.
Although you
think they would have been after Brandon Lee and all those other ones. I mean, come on.
I know.
That's why this one just sounds a little bit weird to me. Not only was it, unnecessary, it was a live round. What's a live round doing on the set?
Well, that's what, I don't know. I don't know. Who knows?
There's no place on the set.
Who knows? Well, that makes you wonder.
Even more.
Yeah. Did someone do this intentionally? Like, what enemies did she have? Like, who would want to do that? And why? And the thing is, you don't know who he's going to be pointing it at. The cinematographer, I mean, she just said, point it for the shot. You're point it in my direction. That was the shot she wanted. You know what I mean? But wow. So no, I don't
pun,
know.
No pun intended.
Yeah, I know. I know it's a bad choice of words, but yeah, terrible. Terrible.
All right.
Anyway, what about, we got to mention Princess Diana.
Okay.
I mean, you said you could do a whole show on Princess Diana.
Well, you could.
Yeah, you could.
Well, you didn't want to mention it.
No, I didn't say I didn't want to mention it. I said, I don't know if we could do a whole show on Princess Diana.
Oh, yeah, you
could
do a whole show on Princess Diana.
You know, I mean, I think it's worth mentioning.
Well, the whole lead up to how she started with the royal family and then her falling out with, you know, Prince Charles and Camilla and how that love triangle, she said there was too many of us in the relationship. And then she eventually left and went over with Dodi Al-Fayed. And it's a whole story, dude.
And she actually predicted in an interview, she said, I just want to lead a normal life. And as normally as I can. But she expressed fears about being murdered or most likely even being killed in a staged car accident. She actually went on record as saying that.
Wow.
Yeah, that gives you shivers right there.
Yeah.
That was like a couple months before that.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, they were being pursued by the paparazzi,
mm-hmm.
went through this tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
The driver had been drinking,
mm-hmm.
and they were run off the road into an abutment.
Mm-hmm.
And they hit the abutment going like 90 miles an hour.
I don't think anybody who was around at the time or old enough to remember remembers where they were when they heard that. It was unbelievable.
I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of celebrity deaths that you just remember where you were. John Lennon.
I remember JFK.
I was
young. Like I was only like 7 years old.
Yeah.
I remember we had that radio in the dining room.
You just gave away your age.
Yeah, whatever.
We all know he's old anyway, right?
Why? Because he said radio?
had the radio. You were born then.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
You were like five.
Yeah, just...
No, three.
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 No, four. I was four.
Four.
No one cares. Continue.
All right.
No, I was three. I was three. You're right. I was just short of four. Yeah, I was whatever. Three.
Do the math.
I don't remember.
Born yet.
I don't remember jack shit. I do. Go ahead. I'll finish your
story.
There
was a radio in the dining room, and it was on. And I remember hearing, JFK had just been shot. And I went and told Dad, and he came over to the
really?
Radio. Yeah, he came over to the radio and started listening. We
Get
started
out
listening.
Of here.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't even know what a JFK was.
Why didn't you turn on the TV? Oh, wait a minute.
You know what?
We tried to tell our neighbors what the smoke signal thing was down.
You know what I found?
What'd you find?
I found the audio tapes that Dad had made of the coverage, right? So he did it on reel to reel. Do you remember?
Yes.
He recorded the coverage. And I remember Walter Cronkite announcing it, and he was brought to tears, actually. You remember that?
Yeah.
When he announced it.
We announced his death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is now confirmed, yeah. And it was really emotional.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. November 1963, that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? The only one I remember is
I remember playing outside, and the other kids heard her mom kind of screamed in the house, and she came out of the front porch just crying.
Which was Elvis.
Yeah, she was bawling. And she goes, Elvis just died.
Yeah. I was going to say, it has to be Elvis.
Yeah.
No, was that 77?
Yeah.
77.
August 77. Right. You know, and there's another movie coming out, right? King of Rock and Roll. Elvis, the King of Rock and Roll.
Yeah. Well, what a way to go, though. Sitting on the toilet.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They found him hunched over. Don't.
Okay.
Don't.
All right.
We're talking about Elvis. Some things you just leave alone, man.
All right. I didn't say anything. Yeah, you were I controlled myself.
Yeah.
You were going to look at you over. I don't know. Chaz's going to say something stupid.
Here it comes.
I'll put it in show notes if anyone's interested.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Okay. Here's one that was gruesome, and they got it on film. Vic Morrow.
You know what?
Was that the Twilight Zone guy?
I just watched that on on Prime. There's a channel. It's about movie disasters, and that was on there.
Now, directed by John Landis.
Oh yeah,
it was the Twilight Zone. It was one of the snippets, and he was wading through a swamp carrying a little Vietnamese kid.
That's correct.
And there's a helicopter in the scene, and the helicopter, for some reason, lost power, came down, and one of the blades came right down.
Sliced three of them right in half.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty vicious to watch. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
Was that a real helicopter?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, if you watch the documentary, I watched it on Prime, and it really, there was so many warning signs. The safety aspect was ignored for a lot of it.
Well, that's why they charged John Landis, but he got off.
He did. He got off, yeah. But it was vicious, and it went on for quite a while. But yeah, if you haven't seen that clip, I mean, I'm not encouraging you to go watch somebody die, but I mean, just to see how it happened, it was about as quick. If you're going to go, that's about as quick as it's going to be.
Yep.
Boom. I mean, yeah, it was pretty bad.
So I imagine the kids he was carrying died as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were, yeah. If you watch the clip, it comes, that blade comes down and just, yeah, there's nothing left.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, Vic Morrow.
Sure, it's on YouTube, right?
Do you know
who... No, they wouldn't that on YouTube.
Do you know who his daughter is? Vic Morrow's daughter?
No.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
What?
That's Gwyneth... That's that was her dad.
Well, her mother is... I can't remember her name. I can see her.
I want to say Blythe Danner. Am I right?
You are correct, sir. It is Blythe Danner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
Yeah, we just watched the YouTube video of Vic Morrow. It's pretty devastating.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, like I said, I warn you in advance. It's pretty bad to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad. That's terrible.
Well, you were saying, too, that the two kids' parents didn't want them.
No, they didn't want them in the movie. They didn't want them to do that scene. But they were convinced, and they were watching it from the sidelines, and that's what happened.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Can you say lawsuit?
Oh, there was a major lawsuit. Major lawsuit.
Well, you can see what probably went wrong was so many explosions around that helicopter. I feel bad for the pilot as well.
Yeah.
What were they thinking?
Yeah, watch the documentary. You know what? When I say documentary, it's an episode on the show. I'll find it while we're talking. But there's a show on Prime that they look at different movies and, you know, some of the pitfalls involved. And it's like film curses or something. I think it's called. I'll look it up. But that's where I saw it. And it's pretty good. It's pretty well done. And they talked to the guy that was responsible for the pyrotechnics and everything. And
yikes.
It just had disaster written all over it. And that scene obviously was not in the final version.
And they managed to keep that story in the movie.
It stayed. Yeah, Vic Morrow did the episode. It was the final chapter in the 1982 Twilight Zone movie.
Yeah.
And it was the final chapter. But that's not. They didn't use that scene with him... with the kids. It was him in water up to his waist, and the Vietnamese start firing at him. It's completely different ending. It's amazing.
But they managed to keep it in.
You know, you'd almost feel guilty releasing that movie and profiting from it after someone has, or someone, not someone, after those people died like that.
Oh, it's, two little kids.
It just doesn't seem right. Mm-hmm. You know
well,
what
that's
I mean?
Why I was even surprised that they had that storyline. Like, okay, release the movie, but think of another storyline in that spot instead. But
yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Anyway.
We got to do one more.
Yeah, look at that mantle ray. Isn't she gorgeous?
That's how you
Irwin?
How you introduce it. Oh my gosh.
Well, that's what he did. They said, whatever you do, don't swim over top of the manta ray because they think it's a threat. Right? I was a manta ray or a stingray. I'm not sure what it was. Maybe it was a stingray. It was a big ray though.
It was a stingray.
Stingray. So he went down.
They were at the Great Barrier Reef, just to be clear.
Yeah.
That's where they were, right? Right?
Yeah. That's
okay. Right.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Okay, keep going.
Well, no, and they warned him, but Steve being Steve Irwin, let's get up close and personal with animals.
No, but Steve's great, but he poor judgment, I guess.
So he went down and swam over top and actually grabbed the front part of it. And then
it startled the ray.
Yeah.
It wasn't typical. It wasn't, you know, characteristic of a ray to react the way it did, apparently. That's what I read. It was startled, right?
Well, yeah, you me
you
too.
Could swim with those. Well, you've swum. I've held them. Not ones with barbs, though. I don't think.
I swim with manta rays. They're freaking huge ones.
Yeah, they're
with
big.
The big mouth and the.
But this thing, because it's got barbs on its tail.
Its tail.
So,
but they're poisonous, are they not?
No, I don't know. That wasn't what killed him. What killed him
Right through his heart.
Yeah, it pierced his heart.
Right.
And I heard when that happened, when I was following that story when it initially happened, that was in what, 2006, that when they pulled him out of the water, the ray was still in him. It was still in him.
Oh, really?
It was still in him. And he insisted, do not kill the animal. It's not its fault. That's what he said. Right? They were trying to save his life. Did you hear that?
No.
I heard that. I read that somewhere. He said, do not harm the animal. It wasn't its fault. Yeah. And he died from his injuries, obviously.
So for people who don't know Steve Irwin, he's the crocodile hunter.
Yeah.
He had a TV show. He was on late night, you know, shows bringing on animals. And he was known as a real, like, environmentalist crocodile.
Animal advocate, man, this guy.
Yeah, and he was up close and personal with all kinds of animals, venomous snakes, and he was from Australia, where everything there is trying to kill you.
pretty much.
But, right. Yeah, so...
His little girl now is following in his footsteps. Have you seen her?
Bindi.
Yeah.
Well, his son, too. Both of them.
Yeah, which is good to see.
Yeah.
You know, they say that they have the video footage of Steve Irwin being killed, eh?
Oh, yeah.
They got it. There's a video of it. Now, I don't care to see it. But,
no, me either.
But it's out there.
All right. We got any more?
I don't think so. This is getting depressing.
Well, it is about death.
Did you want to mention Marvin Gaye?
We've talked about Marvin Gaye before. I think we've done in our Inside Rock podcast. I think we have.
Yeah. He was murdered, wasn't he?
Well, we did it in the one.
His father shot him.
Yeah, gone too soon.
Yeah, that's where we covered it. So if you want to hear about Marvin Gaye, go to Inside Rock, our podcast there, and check out Gone Too Soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's one that I want to mention, and I talked to you about this one. It's Clara Blandick.
Oh,
you know,
Auntie M.
It's a sad story. Clara Blandick played Auntie M in the classic 1939 Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, Auntie M.
And, you know, it's just sad. She, throughout the 1950s, her health started to fail. She had severe arthritis, and she was starting to go blind. She had pending blindness. And what a horrible way to go. But no, I shouldn't say horrible. It's just shocking.
Well, how did she die?
She actually took an overdose of sleeping pills and tied a plastic bag or a bag around her neck and left a suicide note on her chest.
No, she dressed in her best dress.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she got all prepared. She left a note. She knew she was going to do it. And she said, what did the note say?
Well, she laid down on the couch, covered herself with a gold blanket, and the note said, I am now about to make the great adventure. I cannot endure this agonizing pain any longer. It's all over my body. Neither can I face the impending blindness. I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen.
It's a brave woman, actually.
Really?
Absolutely.
Claire Blandick, Auntie M. Like, it's tragic.
That's a sad situation.
Yeah,
that's
tragic,
horrible.
Man. Tragic. You know? And I got to mention one more.
Okay.
Remember I told you about Peg Entwistle?
Peg Entwistle. Who doesn't know
Chuck? Steely Dan. Do you know?
Who doesn't know Peg Entwistle?
Well, you're going to know who Peg Entwistle is.
Who's Peg Entwistle?
Steely
Dan. Wasn't she on the Flintstones?
Steely. Jeez. Steely Dan did a song called Peg off of the album Asia. And it was, I guess, based on this actress. She had a rough go. But she's the one that climbed to the top of the letter H in the Hollywood sign. Actually, at the time, it was Hollywood Land sign because it happened in the 30s. And she did a death dive off of the letter H.
How high is that?
Well, the letters were 30 feet wide and 50 feet high.
Okay.
And so it was high enough where she died from multiple pelvic fractures.
You think it was a better way to go?
I know, right?
Well, not only you're jumping from that sign, you're landing on dirt. You're not even landing. If you're going to do it, find a building that's 30 stories high and then jump from that.
I think it was probably symbolism a little bit too to jump from the Hollywood sign because she was, I guess she was having a hard time.
Because of death probably wasn't immediate. She probably suffered for a while.
Like she didn't know anybody with a boat.
Actually, a hiker.
Exactly.
Right. A hiker found her. She found her shoes, her purse, and I think it was her coat. And in her purse was a suicide note. And she looked down the hill, and she was down the hill where she had rolled. But, she was dead. Anyway, Peg Entwistle, there you go. There's a little bit of trivia for you.
There you go.
Steely Dan, Asia. Yeah.
So is that it?
I don't know. I could keep going on. This talk is getting pretty dark.
Pretty freaking depressing.
Plus, he's getting into it. It's kind of freaky.
Yeah, I know. Let's wrap this up before he says any more.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up this episode called Unusual Celebrity Deaths with Oat,
Queeks,
and Cha,
the Jabber Guys.
Remember to go to our website, jabberguys.com, to subscribe to our podcasts, Weird and Wacky World and Inside Rock.